First Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 2, just one verse tonight. I want to continue preaching on the church. Praise God. The Bible said unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Amen. I'd like to preach tonight, if the Lord will help me tonight, on the true church. Praise God. Before I begin to preach tonight, I want to read you something. I don't usually do this, but I come across a story in a book the other day. It's an illustration book of preachers, and Reverend E.Y. Mullins was a seminary teacher who prepared students for the ministry. And he said this, he said, some of them grow impatient in their preparation, and I have often said to them, when God builds a tree, it takes him about 3 generations. But when he builds a squash, it takes him about 3 weeks. A man can choose which he will be, a tree or a squash. He goes on to say, he said, we misjudge children, we misjudge church members. We misjudge the church itself when we forget that the Christian life is progressively realized, that it comes slowly. He said, I once saw in Pilgrim Hall at Plymouth, Massachusetts, the restored ribs and keel of an old ship that was dug up from the sands of Cape Cod. They were worm-eaten and moldy. As I gazed upon them, I reflected that when the ship was building hundreds of years ago, these ribs and this keel were in the same position. Then, however, it was a prophecy of a ship that was to be. When I saw it, it was the reminiscence of a ship that had been. The imperfect Christian is a prophecy, not a reminiscence. The imperfect church is a prophecy of the glorious church that is to be, and it's not a reminiscence. I said that to say this, every church has people in it. And if you've got people, you've got faults. If you've got people, you've got problems. Because we all have them. Amen. It's prophecy. It's God's word. Amen. So as I preached concerning the church, as I preached on the Laodicea and the church of Philadelphia, the church this morning, tonight, as I preach on the true church, I want you to realize the church will never be perfected until it is glorified. We strive for perfection in the church, but we're not perfected until this mortality puts on immortality. Praise God. If you was perfect tonight, you wouldn't be among us, you'd be in heaven. Praise God. But there's never been but one that was perfect, and that was Jesus Christ. And He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. So with that in mind tonight, I want to preach on the true church. Amen. I preached to you last night concerning the Laodicean church. And for those that wasn't here, I'll lay a quick foundation tonight so they'll know where I'm coming from on the church that I'm going to preach on tonight. And there are 2 groups of people in the church. Amen. Theologians believe that in these last days in which we live, the Laodicean church in Revelation chapter 3, verses number 14 through 22 is the church that is represented and the church that we see in the world today and the time that we're living in, the lukewarm church in its lukewarm state that God is going to spew out of His mouth. And there are many people in the world today that is a part of this Laodicean church. They live a lukewarm experience, amen, in the church. Amen, I'm going to tell you just the 4 points that I brought out last night concerning the Laodicean church. It was a compromising church. It was a condemned church. It was a conceited church. And it was a carnal-minded church. Amen. On the other hand, the church of Philadelphia, of which I believe is also represented in these last days. Amen. Many historians believe that it represented the time frame of the late 1700s up until the early 1900s when revival spread throughout England and when the Holy Ghost fell in the United States at Azusa Street and began begin to spread across our great country. And they believe that the Church of Philadelphia, amen, ended there, the time frame, and then the Church of Laodicea started. And that'll be the church that is represented when Jesus comes. But I believe there are still, amen, some Philadelphians in the church today. I believe there's still some people that are on fire for God, that has a zeal, that has a desire, amen, to live for God and to see the church go forward. Amen. I preached this morning that this Church of Philadelphia was a church that was concerned. That was an open door set before them, and they were concerned about converting sinners to Christ. I preached this morning that this Church of Philadelphia was a church of commitment. They weren't playing games with the church, but they were committed to God. They kept His Word, and they did not deny Christ, the Bible says. Amen. It was also a church of convictions. It was a church that knew the Word of God, that had been convicted of the Word of God, that lived separated from the world of sin. Amen. But not only was it a church of conviction, a church of concern, and a church of commitment, it was a church that God crowned with His glory because He approved of their zeal and their desire and their hunger for God. And with all of that in mind, I would like to preach tonight on the true church. Amen. We are living in a time today where we have our Laodiceans that sit up on our church pews. But I want you to know, not everybody in the church is lukewarm. Not everybody is content. Not everybody is comfortable. But there are those that sit among us who are concerned about revival, who are concerned about winning souls to God. And the testimonies that have already went forth in this service tonight prove that there is a desire to reach the lost and to see souls converted and brought into the kingdom of God, and that there is a desire for revival in the church of the living God today. Amen. I want you to realize tonight that I'm not down on the church. I'm for the church. Hallelujah. That's the only thing good that's going in America today. Hallelujah. That's the church of the living God. I want you to realize that in our text tonight, amen, God is speaking through the Apostle Paul, amen, directly concerning the church. He identifies the church in this text tonight. The word church, the local church that is addressed by Paul, amen, here is Paul's introduction to the church, revealing, because it points out just what the church is. And so Paul here addresses the church. The local church is born of God. I want you to realize tonight, it is the church of God at Corinth. Hallelujah. It's not the Corinthian church. Amen. It's not the pastor's church. It's not the people's church. It is the church of God at Corinth. Hallelujah. I want us to realize that this is not Brother Pierce's church. It's not the deacon's church. It's not the people's church. But it is the church of the living God of Hamilton, Ohio. Hallelujah. I want us to understand tonight that God revealed the church, and He put claim upon the church. He's the one that births the church, and He's the one that leads and instructs the church, and it is His church. Hallelujah. And He will not share His glory with anyone else, because He has already laid claim. He has already took possession. It is God's church. Hallelujah. And if you're a part of this church, you're a part of the kingdom of God. If you're in the church, if you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, you are God's possession. Hallelujah. I'll even go a little step further than that. Whether you're saved or not, you're still God's possession. Amen. You're His creation. The devil never created one being that is human. Hallelujah. You are God's creation, created in His likeness, and He bought you with a price. You are not your own, whether you're in sin or whether you're in the church. You're still God's, and you're going to stand before God, and you're going to give account before God. Amen. Why? You're not a part of the church of the living God. Well, if the Lord will help me tonight, I'd like to preach tonight for just a little while concerning the true church. Amen. There's never been a successful church but what was birthed by the Holy Ghost, and converts came in and sinners gave their life to Christ and was saved. Every successful church on the globe today was started by the Spirit of God. Amen. I know God uses men and God uses women to pioneer churches and to start works. Brother, you can go anywhere you want to. You can pick out a prime location. You can get you a building and you can be the best preacher in the country. But unless the Holy Ghost comes down and God births a church, there'll never be a church there. Hallelujah. You may have a building as beautiful as the Crystal Cathedral. You may have a facility that'll seat 10,000 people. But it takes the Spirit of God, amen, to birth the church of the living God. There's many facilities in our land today that has the church name. But brother, the only true church is the church of the living God that He has breathed on, that He has birthed, that He has converted, that He has brought out of sin. That is the true church. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. The Bible said in the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 28, take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. Hallelujah. It's a blood-bought church. I said it's a blood-bought church. Praise God. Ephesians 5:25, Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Titus 2:14, Christ who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. The Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, God, which liveth and abideth forever. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. There must be a birth in order to be a part of this true church of the living God. Amen. The Bible tells us where he went to Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to him in the night. And he said, how can a man go back into his mother's womb? But he must be born of the Spirit. And I want to tell you, my friend, there's a lot of people that is in the church, but they're not in the true church of the living God because they have not been born of the Spirit. Hallelujah. There comes a time in every man and woman and boy and girl's life that they must realize that they are a sinner, that they are lost and undone without God. They must believe in their heart that Christ has been raised from the dead, that He gave His life on Calvary's cross for their sin, and they must confess with their mouth salvation. Hallelujah. And if they don't confess with their mouth, they cannot be saved. I want to tell you, my friend, I'm glad that we can be born of the Spirit and be a part of the church of the living God. We don't have to be a part of a social club. We don't have to be a part of a social party. But we are birthed by the Son of God and a part of the glorious church of Jesus Christ, the true church of the living God. Lift your hands and worship the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Woo! Amen. Praise God. This church is the true church of God. Hallelujah. God never intended man to run it. God never intended man to own it. God never intended man to take possession of it. Whether he's a pastor or not, it's God's church. Woo! If you don't understand anything else that I preach out of these three messages, I want you to realize that the church is God's. Hallelujah. It's His possession. Hallelujah. You're His children. You're birthed of His Spirit. You're of God. Hallelujah. Amen. We must realize, amen, there's a lot of times in church work I have seen people rise up and try to take authority and run the church. Well, let me tell you, my friend, there ain't but one that's qualified to run the church, and that is Jesus Christ, whom God has authored, amen, to be the head of the church of the living God. Aren't you glad tonight that you know Jesus? Aren't you glad tonight that you're a part of this true church of the living God? Hallelujah. Amen. There's some that think the church exists because they started it. There's some think that the church goes on because they're there. But I want you to know God don't have to have none of us. I said God don't have to have any of us. He's going to have a church with or without us. Woo! It's His church. Praise God. Amen. It's dangerous to think that the church can't run without you. Amen. But I want you to realize, amen, the attitude that we must have as this church, as God's church, it's a place that we are honored to come into, amen, and feel the presence of a holy God, amen, and feel the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, and know that Jesus Christ Himself is looking down upon this congregation, amen, and is visiting in this service tonight. Amen. It is an honor to realize that we are in the house of God Himself. Hallelujah. This is His dwelling place. He inhabits the praise of Israel. Amen. He inhabits and He dwells in the presence of His people. I'm preaching to you tonight, there's a true church, and the true church will have the true Spirit of the living God in it. Amen. God doesn't abide in a dead church. Amen. But His church is alive. His church is well. Amen. His church has been born. His church has got life. His church has got zeal. His church has got desire. His church has got power. His church has got strength. His church is a church that is upon a firm foundation. It is the church of Jesus Christ, the true church. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. When people come in and try to take possession of the church of the living God, they don't do nothing but mess up God's plan. They don't do nothing but hurt people and destroy souls. Amen. It's God's church. It's God's will. Amen. It's God's program. Amen. We must realize that the church must be run by God. Amen. I'll tell you one thing. One of the first scriptures that I ever learned. Amen. When I got called to preach, I read there. Amen. Where Solomon was anointed king of Israel after his father David. And he prayed. And he said, God, give me wisdom to judge thy people Israel. I want to tell you, we better be careful how we judge one another. We better be careful how we rule one another. Amen. It don't matter if you're the pastor, the deacon, or a lay member. Amen. We must realize that this ain't my church. It's God's church. And we're going to stand before God on how we act in the house of God. We're going to stand before God of how we treat the house of God. We're going to be judged by God on how we talk about the people of God. I said this is God's church and it's His possession, and He don't need anybody running the church of the living God for Him. He is well able to lead the generation that He has birthed of His Spirit. Hallelujah. It is His church. Praise God. Amen. I want to say this before I go any further. A lot of times when pastors preach like this, first thing that pops in people's mind, well, he must be having problems with a deacon. No. I've got the best deacons any preacher could ask for. Amen. And I want that clarified. Amen. If this CD goes out. Amen. I've got deacons, amen, that listen to their pastor even though he's younger than they. Amen. Praise God. I've got deacons that respect me as their pastor and the leader of this flock of God. Hallelujah. And I appreciate and I love every one of our deacons. Amen. We have great men as deacons. I've heard preachers get up in camp meetings, amen, talk about their deacons and talk about their trustees and talk about their Sunday school teachers. And I wonder sometimes why, amen, they even pastor the church. If you got bad deacons and you got bad Sunday school teachers, you either need to resign and leave and go somewhere where they really want holiness and where they want the blessing of God, or else you need to get them out of office and get good qualified men and women in that'll follow the pastor, that'll follow the will of God. I want you to realize tonight we must all be aware, amen, God didn't give us this place for us to run, but it's His church, and the reason that His blessing is upon it is because me and these deacons has followed the Spirit of God, and we've let God lead us, and we've let God direct us, and we know beyond the shadow of a doubt that we're in God's will. Hallelujah. Woo! Praise God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Amen. God will never share His glory with a church boss. He won't do it. He'll never share His glory with an arrogant person that thinks they know the direction of the church. He'll never do it. It doesn't matter how young or how old. It doesn't matter what position or what their calling is. God will not share His glory with arrogance, amen, or carnality. Hallelujah. Amen. God shares His glory, amen, with them that follow and walk in His Spirit. Hallelujah. I want you to know the church of the living God is a Spirit-born church. Amen. It is a Spirit-led church. Amen. And it is a spiritual institution ordained of God. That's what the church is. It's just like a hospital. Amen. People go in there to get tumors taken out. They go in for open heart surgeries. They go in for kidney transplants. Amen. I want to tell you what God ordained the church for. Amen. He ordained the church that sinners could come in them doors. Amen. And have the birth. Amen. The new birth through the blood of Jesus Christ. That the alcohol desire could be taken out of him. That the cigarette desire and the tobacco desire would be withdrawn from them. That's why God instituted the church. He instituted it just like a hospital, only it is a spiritual institution where desires and where spirits can be bound. Where Jesus said, "Behold, I give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose in earth shall be loosed in heaven." I want to tell you, brother, the church is ordained of God, and it is a spiritual institution. And we can have deliverance. And we can be set free in the church. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and worship the Lord. Woo! Hallelujah. My God, my God. Hallelujah. The prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 42:8, "I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I give to no other." Isaiah 48:11, he said, "For mine own sake, even for mine own sake, will I do it, for how shall my name be polluted, and I will not give my glory unto another." Hallelujah. Are you hearing me tonight? It's never been the will of God for the pastor to be glorified. It's never been the will of God for the singers to be glorified. It's never been the will of God for the musicians to be glorified. He does not share His glory, but it's the will of God through our
preaching and through our singing and through our playing and through our testifying that God Almighty is glorified through His church. Oh, aren't you glad tonight that you're a part of the true church, a church of the living God, where God can be glorified, where God can be exalted, where God can work through His people and see souls touched and lives changed. Hallelujah. The church is set apart. Hallelujah. Its believers are set apart in Christ. And they're called saints. Praise God. You need to be careful who you judge and call a saint. You could be bringing reproach against Jesus Christ. God labels His saints. He said, by their fruit, you shall know them. Praise God. Be careful who you label a saint. Amen. I don't want you to think everybody's got a fault, ain't a saint. That ain't what I said. I just read to you that story, and the reason I read to you that story, the Christian life is progressively. I wasn't what I am 16 years ago. Even though I was called to preach 16 years ago, I hope I've grown a little bit and I'm a better man today than I was 16 years ago. I have progressed. Hey man, you're not what you was 5, 10, 15, or 20, or however many years ago you've been saved, but you have progressed slowly into what you are. And I don't expect people to walk in them doors, amen, and hear the Word of God preached and line up to everything we preach this week or even next month or even in the next year. Amen. We grow and we progress slowly. Amen. In the grace of God, as God deals with their heart, as God speaks to our soul. Amen. It's just like a child growing up. The preaching feeds, it nourishes the congregation. And new converts must be nourished by the Word of God. Amen. You don't take a six-month-old child and ear him into a marathon race. No, you wait till he starts walking. And then you wait till he grows up and gets old enough to qualify for the race. And I'm afraid sometimes we misjudge people. And we expect them to be just like us. When it's took us 15 or 20 or 30 years to become what we are. And we still got faults in ourselves. Amen. But I want you to realize, I'm glad we're still a part of the true church of the living God. With all of our faults and with all of our shortcomings, with all of our failures, God still lets us be a part of His church. Hallelujah. He made the moon and the stars and the earth. He created man and every animal that's upon the face of the earth. He created the universe in 7 days. Amen. But after 17 years of being saved, He's still working on me. He's still perfecting me. I want to tell you, my friend, it is an honor, it is a privilege to be a part of the church of the living God. Hallelujah. Hey, man. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hey, man. You see, when you become a part of this church, you have to come out of the world of sin. Hey, man. Not everybody understands everything about the world. Not everybody understands everything about sin overnight. Amen. But eventually, as a Christian, you're going to keep walking closer and closer to God and getting farther and farther from the world. Amen. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6, or 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. He said, wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, as obedient children, we don't want to be disobedient, do we? As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That word conversation there means in the Greek, behavior. Amen. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. Amen. The Bible said through John, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world.
If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible said, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Amen. That's a good part of this glorious church. Amen. The longer you're a part of the church, the more you begin to love God, and the less you begin to love the world. Are you hearing me tonight? Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that the love of Jesus and the love of God can take a hold of those desires that has been so strong in our life that we couldn't conquer? I've known young men and young ladies that has come in the church and got saved, and they quit doing things and never miss them at all. And much later down the road, they'd get up in church, Brother Peters, and testify and say, you know, I used to do this almost every day, and I hadn't done it in months, and I just realized the other day that I hadn't even missed it. What is it? It's that love of God that takes the place of the love of the world, and it puts a desire, it puts a zeal, it puts a determination to draw nigh unto the Lord. And James said, if you'll draw nigh unto God, He'll draw nigh unto you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. The church and its believers are sanctified to God. They're set apart to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. No man can approach God. No person can be ever set apart to God except through Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus said, I am the way. There is no other. It don't matter what the world says. It don't matter what doctrine of whatever religious thing is going on in the world today. It don't matter what they say. There is only one way to get to God, and that is through faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen. The Bible said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Amen. 1 Timothy 2 and 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. 1 John 4, 14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Titus chapter 3, verse 4 through 7, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. John chapter 4, verse 42, now we believe not because of thy saying, but we have heard Him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Aren't you glad that one day not only did you hear the preacher, but you heard Jesus Christ Himself speak to you and call your name and say, come unto me all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hallelujah. The Spirit say come. The bride say come. Let him that are first come. I want to tell you, my friend, the call is still going forth. And the Lord Jesus Christ has still got the door to the church open. And any man and woman and boy and girl that chooses has a right to call upon the name of Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life, and enter into this glorious church of the living God, the true church. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. The Bible said in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 5:31, Him hath God exalted with His right hand to be Prince and a Savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. Hebrews 7:25,
Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that it's not hard to get in this church? I said, it ain't hard to get into this church. Praise God. Amen. Jesus Christ is forever making intercession. Amen. For each and every one in this world today. And I want you to realize tonight, you may stumble and you may fall. Amen. But the Bible said there in the book of Malachi, rejoice not against me, O mine enemies. For when I fall, I shall arise. Hallelujah. I tell you, it's not wrong to fall, but it's wrong not to get up. Amen. You may fall 100 times, but if you do, you need to get up 101 and realize that you have an intercessor. You have a loving Savior that wants you to be a part of the church of the living God, and He'll do His best to reach out to you and to pull you out of your sin and give you a chance to get back in the church. Hallelujah. The devil will tell you you're not important than the church. I want you to know something. The church is your gateway to heaven. And if you don't come by the way of the church, hey man, I know there's people that get saved on their deathbed. I've seen people with my own eyes get saved on hospital beds and never come out of the hospital. But I want to tell you, it's the mercies of God. Amen. It's the mercies of God. But I'm going to tell you what else this preacher saw. I have seen people lay on hospital beds and beg God to save them. And God would not, because they ignored the open door of the church way too many times. Amen. Are you hearing this preacher tonight? I'm preaching to you tonight. This is the true church. This is our gateway to heaven. This is the way God intended it. Amen. He didn't create man to make man serve Him. But He created man in His own likeness and give him a will that he could choose to serve Him. He created the angels to worship Him and obey Him. He created the seraphims to cry, holy, 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 day and night. But He created me and you, amen, as free moral agents with a will that we could choose whether we serve Him or not. And I want to say to you, my friend, it is the will of God that every man, woman, and boy and girl choose to serve the Lord. That they come to Him by the way of the cross. That they accept the blood that was shed on Calvary's hill. That they come by way of the church. That they can serve their God and Master. I want to tell you, my friend, we're going to be rewarded, amen, by our works when we stand before Him. And if we've ignored the church, if we've ignored the door, if we've rejected the way, there is nothing but hell left for that individual that will not come in the church. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel this tonight. I feel the Holy Ghost. Amen. These believers that are called saints, that are in the church, they're identified as the children of God. His seal is upon their forehead. His glory, His approval is upon them that are saved and redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. The church is a universal church. It's not an exclusive church. Amen. There are none in the church that are superiority or superior over anyone else in the church. I want to tell you, my friend, there ain't no big I's and little U's in God's kingdom. We're all His children. Are you hearing me? I said we're all the flock of His pastor. We're all just ignorant sheep to God that need a master, that need a shepherd to lead us and instruct us and to guide us. And I know there's folks in church, amen, that think they're superior to others and they'll look down their nose at others. And if somebody makes a suggestion, they'll think, well, who do they think they are? And sometimes I'd like to say, well, who do you think you are? We're all all the children of God. Hallelujah. There ain't one person in this building tonight that's any more important to God than anybody else in this church. That little girl that Sister Doris is folding tonight, that's just as important to God as the pastor of this church. It's a lamb. It's a part of His flock. Amen. He gave His life for that baby. I want to tell you, my friend, we're all the children of God. And God has His finger upon us. His eyes are upon the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. A righteous cry, the Lord heareth them and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Why? Because they are a church of the living God. They are the flock of His pasture. Hallelujah. Amen. This Corinthian church had a problem of superiority. There was people in this church that thought they were superior in power. They thought they were God's given gift to the church. Hallelujah. When you think you stand, take heed lest you fall. Amen. God don't have any God-given gifts to the church. He's the only gift to the church. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I'm not trying to tear down who we need to honor in the church. We need to honor everybody. I said we need to honor everybody in the church. Praise God. I'm not saying you shouldn't pin flowers on some when they do great things for you. Amen. That's all right. It's better to pin them on while they're alive than when they're dead. Amen. It's all right to tell people you love them and you appreciate them. That's all right. Amen. But just always remember there's only one superiority power in the church, and that is Jesus Christ, who has been given the authority of God to be the head of the church. Hallelujah. Amen. There are no super spiritual people in the church, and they have no place in the church of the living God. Amen. I want you to realize tonight, God doesn't have a place for people that think they're better than everybody else. Amen. The church of the living God is a church of humility. And the more humble you become, the greater God will exalt you. Hallelujah. You know, there's been a lot of people that's asked me to forgive them down through the years. There's been a lot of people that's told me that they loved me down through the years, and I knew in my heart they didn't, but I forgave them anyway. Got real quiet on me there. I said, in my heart, I truly forgive them anyway. Praise God. You know why? Because that's what Jesus would do. Hey, man, and if they stab me in the back again and they ask for forgiveness, God expects me to forgive them again. Amen. And we must be that way. We are not superior in the church above anybody else. Whether they're crooked, amen, whether they're a liar, whether they're a troublemaker, amen, whether they're rich, whether they're poor, it doesn't matter what their status in life is. There is no superiority in the church of the living God. We're all His created science. Amen. We're all born of the same Spirit. Amen. We're all the children of God. Amen. The Bible tells in the book of Acts chapter 10 verse 34, God is no respecter of persons. Aren't you glad you don't have to be born rich to get into this? I'm glad my dad didn't have to be a preacher for the call of God to come upon my life. I'm glad that God didn't look back generations in my family to see if I was qualified. But He said, whosoever will, let him come. The door is wide open. And it's a decision of every man and woman and boy and girl if they want to be a part of the true church of the living God. He is no respecter of persons. Anybody can become a part of this church. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible said in Romans chapter 12, verse number 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 14:4, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holding up. For God is able
to make him stand. Amen. I want you to realize tonight that the church of the living God is a church of grace and it is a church of peace. Hallelujah. If there ain't peace in the church, it ain't a God-given church. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me preach tonight? The vision is never of God. Amen. And people who cause division are not of God. They're not born of the Spirit of God. You say, watch out, preacher, you're judging. No, I'm telling you what the Bible has to say. If you're born of the Spirit, you're going to act like Jesus Christ. If you're born of the Spirit, you're going to walk like Jesus Christ. If you're born of the Spirit of God, you're going to be merciful like Jesus Christ. If you're born of the Spirit, you're going to be compassionate like Jesus Christ. Oh, you might have a while, amen, to get a hold of your temper and get some things conquered in your life. It takes time to get sanctified of some things that we have problems with in life. But I want to tell you, my friend, the church of the living God is a Spirit-born church. And it's not a church of division. It is a church of unity. It is a church of peace. And it is a church of grace. Hallelujah.
Praise God. That word grace means unmerited favor. I've heard people say, well, I done give him one chance. What's that supposed to mean? Grace done expired? Aren't you glad God gave you more than one chance? Aren't you glad God's grace kept extending? And even after we're saved by grace through faith. Praise God. If it wasn't for the grace of God, even after He saved me, I wouldn't be behind this pulpit right now. But it's by His grace. Hallelujah. I never deserved the honor of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, but His grace, that unmerited favor, made up for all the sin, made up for all the devilish things that I've done in my life. Amen. His grace is sufficient, and His grace extends beyond what we deserve. I'm glad for the grace of God. Amen. He gives the church grace. Amen. He gives us physical grace. Amen. He gives us materialistic things. He blesses the spiritual. Oh, but I'm glad for the grace of God. The Bible said in Romans chapter 3, and I got to hurry here, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of His sins according to the riches of His grace. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad tonight for the grace of God upon each and every one of us? No, we didn't deserve salvation. No, we didn't deserve to be a part of this glorious church. But by the grace of God, He accepted us. And by His grace, He bought us with His redeeming blood. Thank God for His grace. Hallelujah. Amen. Another attribute of the church is peace. The Bible said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, and not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Hallelujah. In the book of John chapter 16, verse 33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in ye you might have peace. In the world you might have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you're in the church of the living God that has overcome the world? A church that's upon the rock. And He said the gates of hell shall not prevail against this church. Hallelujah. It don't matter what the devil says. It don't matter what the world says. We're in the church of the living God. And we will prevail through the blood of Jesus Christ and through the strength that He has given. Hallelujah. I'm going to skip some of this. Amen. When the Bible said in Isaiah chapter 53 verse 5, but He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. That's just some more benefits of being in the church of the living God.
Hallelujah. You don't have to be a Laodicean. You don't have to be lukewarm. You can be a part of this true church of the living God. You can reap all of these blessings. You can reap all of these benefits. Amen. I've heard people say, well, I would go to church, but there's too many hypocrites in the church. Well, I'm going to tell you, I'd rather go to church with them than to go to hell with them. Amen. And I want to tell you something else. You ain't never going to find a church in this world that is perfect. You're never going to find a church that doesn't have some type of faults in it. I've got faults. You've got faults. We've all got faults. And no matter how much we admit our faults, and we work on our faults, and God perfects us in our faults. The closer you get to God, and the more that you acknowledge your faults, the more faults that you'll see in your life. Are you hearing me preach tonight? When you get to the place that you think everything is all right, that I have been perfected through Jesus Christ, I'm sanctified from the world of sin, you better watch out. You're fixing to fall flat of your face. Amen. But if you'll acknowledge your weakness, if you'll acknowledge your faults, and then God will help you in your faults, and He'll perfect you in your faults, and He'll prepare you as a glorious church, a bride waiting for the bridegroom to appear. Hallelujah. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 27, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blame. I want to tell you in closing tonight as they come and give us a song. Amen. If you're in this church, you ain't perfect yet. Amen. But in a little while, you're going to be without spot. You're going to be without wrinkle. You're going to be without blemish. Because God is going to perfect His children. And He's going to perfect His church. And it's going to be a glorious church. It's going to be a holiness church. It's going to be a spotless church. Hallelujah, it's going to be church of the redeemed. Stand to your feet and lift your hands toward heaven. And thank God that you're a part of this glorious church. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. That was just the locality of God's church. God's got churches all over this world. Praise God. Amen. And I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm fixing to say. But I've been around some older Church of God preachers. Amen. That actually believe that this scripture right here meant that if you wasn't in the church of God, you wasn't right with God. Amen. That's not what that means. Hallelujah. I don't care if you're in the Baptist church, the Assembly church, the Methodist church, the Church of God, the Church of Christ. Amen. And I could go on and on and on and mention many more denominations or independent churches. Amen. What matters is if you're in the true church of the living God. Amen. Preacher, how do I get in that church? Amen. You've got to confess your sins and acknowledge Jesus Christ died for your sins and accept Him as your Savior. And if you do, you can walk in the door tonight of the church of the living God and be a part of this glorious church as they begin to sing tonight and the saints of God begin to pray. I wonder if there's some right here among us tonight that is not saved, that sees their need to be saved, that would like to become a part of this glorious church. You say, preacher, you don't know how I've lived. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what's in my mind. You don't know what's troubling me. I want to tell you, my friend, I don't have to know. There's one in heaven that knows the thoughts and the intents of your heart. And His arms is spread open wide. And His nail-scarred brow, the crown of thorns sat, is looking upon your soul. And He's saying, come unto me and be a part of my church. Amen. And He's calling you tonight. Is there one that'll come? You'd like to be a part of this church? Hallelujah. It's a glorious church. It's a wonderful church. as the saints of God are praying tonight. Hallelujah. What about it? Amen. Do you want to be a part of this church? Amen. While those are still waiting on God. Amen. I'm not going to give an altar call and just open up the whole church just yet. But I wonder if there's some in this church tonight that says, oh, preacher, the Lord has dealt with me even while you was preaching, that I need to get rid of some things, that I need to work on some things. I've got some faults in my life, amen, that I want God to perfect me in. Would you personally get out of your seat and come to this altar right now while God is speaking to your heart? There's some already coming. Amen. I don't want you to come yet unless God's dealing with your heart about some things. Amen. But if there's some things in your life that God has revealed unto you in this service, or in the days ahead of this service, that you say, preacher, I need to work on some things, some things that I can take care of, that'll get me closer to God, amen, that'll better prepare me in this glorious church. I want you to get out of your seat right now and make your way to this altar. Is there any more tonight before I call in the church? Oh, what an honor it is to be able to come to the altars of God in the presence of a holy God and say, Lord, I'm not perfect. I know that I've got faults. I know that I have failed you this week. But I know that you're making intercession. And I know that it's your desire to perfect me. And it's my desire to draw nigh unto you. Is there any more that'll come tonight? Amen. If not, the church come. Let's gather on these altars tonight and find us a place to pray. Hallelujah. The true church of the living God. Aren't you glad that you're a part of it? If you're not a part of it tonight, you can become a part of it. Amen. Consider the church. Amen. It's God's blessing for you. It's an open door that God has that you can walk into and you can enjoy the presence of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Be a part of the church. Don't reject the church. Don't walk away from the church. But acknowledge that you need the church. That you need Jesus Christ as your Savior. And let God make you become a member of the church of the living God. Hallelujah.